One of the great things about attending in-person conferences, such as PyCon, is the hallway track, where you can catch up with people you haven't seen for possibly a year, or maybe even meeting people in person for the first time. Nina is starting something like the hallway track, but online on Twitch, called Python Tea. And this episode kinda is like a hallway track with Nina and myself catching up. We've had her on the show before, once in 2018 and once in 2019, but she's been up to a lot since then. So we talk about a lot of stuff, including live coding on Twitch, online conferences, Python Tea, Python on hardware, Adafruit, CircuitPython, tricking out your command prompt, and working from home, and a lot more.
Welcome to Test and Code. If you've found value in this podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go over to pythontest.com and look either in the top menu bar or in the bottom footer? And there's a few links we're going to talk about. Contact is how you can get a hold of me. Newsletter is how I can get a hold of you. And support is how you can find links to things like my book, the PyTest book, PyTest courses, the community where you can ask questions, and that's about it, really. I'd really appreciate if, especially if you could sign up for the newsletter. I'm trying to collect emails of people that might be interested in similar topics.
Welcome to Test and Code. On today's episode, I have Nina Zakarenko. She's been on two times before, so I'm welcome her back. But if people have just starting listening, the last time she was on was last April, so Nina, who are you?
My name is Nina Zakarenko. I work at Microsoft as a cloud developer advocate focusing on Azure and VS Code and making our tools and services better and easier to work with for developers everywhere.
Well, that's pretty cool. But how has that changed since in the last couple months? Developer advocate, I think you were traveling a lot before, weren't you?
Yeah, I was never huge on traveling, but I did do quite a few in-person events. Actually, my last event was one that I helped organize, and I didn't realize it would be my last, probably for this year and maybe for next, but that was PyCascades back in, was that February?
Yeah, it seems like forever ago now, but it was just a few months ago.
Yeah. It was just a different lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely a little bit freaked out about my job at first because, you know, in-person events were a big part of it. But I feel like myself and my team and my organization over the past few months, we've really been adapting to what the world looks like at the moment. And so that means more virtual content. We can talk about live streaming in a moment, more video recordings, more spaces to connect, more events that are being organized. And, you know, we're still learning lessons. We're not 100% of the way there. There are still things that are missing from in-person experiences, but, you know, we're getting there.
Yeah.
I will say that I've been very, very busy.
Well, yeah. So one of the things you're doing is live streaming. So let's jump into that. Why did you start? Is this something you just wanted to do yourself, or is this part of the developer advocate thing?
No, it's something I wanted to do myself. And the timing was right, I suppose, because I got started back in, I want to say the end of January, maybe early February. And I did it because it looked interesting. Suze Hinton is a fantastic live coder who has been doing it for a really long time. And she was a huge inspiration for me. And it seemed like a new way to be able to do my work while actually interacting with an audience and being able to take questions. For me personally, it's also been really good motivation to work on some side projects that might not have otherwise seen the light of day. Because when I say that I'm going to work on a particular project and folks show up to hang out and to watch, then I have to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I committed.
Yeah, I was going to work on this plugin, but I think I'll just work on some, like, you know, some email. No,
that doesn't work. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so are you, I was always, one of the things I'm curious about with Live Coder is, and it's probably lots of answers to this, but is the stuff you're working on, is it new, or do you practice it once before you do the live version?
No, I don't practice it at all, which, you know, people get to see my process. There have been streams where nothing is working and the whole stream is me trying to debug or troubleshoot or fix a test or whatever. And that just reflects what writing code is actually like. I feel like if I did practice it, it would just be sugar-coated.
That's true. It's a good reality check. I never thought about that as using a live coding in sessions as a way to see how what people's day-to-day job looks like. Coding is a lot of headbanging. Not the rocking kind, but the against the table kind. So,
and at first, making mistakes was really terrifying. You know, making mistakes in front of an audience and imposter syndrome and, oh, everyone's going to think I don't know what I'm doing. But it hasn't panned out that way at all. Folks are really friendly and supportive, and sometimes they help me troubleshoot. And, you know, it's kind of fun in the way that pair programming can be when you're working with someone that you gel with.
Yeah.
Except you're pair programming with many.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat. So you kind of pick something you're going to work on and you announce it ahead of time then?
Generally, sometimes I work on hardware stuff, sometimes CircuitPython projects. Over the course of a few streams, I built a mechanical keyboard from scratch.
Oh, wow.
So that was really fun. But lately, I've been working on a Flask app. So writing Python, I think I'm about 2 or 3 weeks away from being able to deploy it. I'm not going to go into too much detail because we still have so much to talk about. But if folks want to tune in, they can catch me at twitch.tv/nnjaio. And I stream twice a week, generally Mondays and Thursdays around 4:30 p.m. Pacific.
Okay. How long are your streams? How long do the sessions go?
It depends. Usually between an hour and 2 hours.
Wow. Okay. That's a chunk of time that you're committing to this. But if it's projects you wanted to work on anyway, that's cool.
Yeah, and it helps me commit to writing code because, you know, developer advocacy is not quite one-to-one with the engineering jobs that I was used to having. And
okay.
I really have to carve out the time to keep my skills up.
While you're coding, while you're doing this, there's chats going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that I was worried about, that if I were ever to do this, I mean, coding is a very focused exercise sometimes. Trying to interact with a chat at the same time, is there difficulty there?
Yeah, I would say that my first few streams were very awkward.
Okay.
You know, as I was trying to juggle it, but you adapt. And the thing that I had to come to terms with was whatever I was working on, it would take me longer. You know, sometimes I thought I would be productive or just get this feature out there or get this test out there. And it doesn't really work that way. You can't have the interactivity and be super productive. But the interactivity is what makes it fun, and it's what both keeps me coming back and the folks who watch my stream coming back. And we've kind of started up this really nice little community of folks who like Python and have a lot of shared interests. I have a Discord server that I started, and it's really lovely.
Oh, that's cool. There's the ways for people to learn if they wanted to try. So this is definitely on my someday maybe list of adding this to the pile of stuff I'm working on.
Yeah. It took me a while to learn and get proficient. And I very slowly built up my gear that I was using and how fancy things were. So Some folks, I feel like, try to do it all right out of the gate, get the fanciest lights and all the best gear and the nicest camera, and you really don't need that. You just need a reasonable microphone and okay lighting, right? That makes a really big difference. And then you don't need to know everything about the software. You can really just build as you go if you decide that it's something that you want to stick with.
Okay. And it's not expensive. There's most of the stuff's free, right? Not the gear, but the software and stuff.
Not the gear. Yeah. But Twitch is free. You don't have to pay to stream. Yeah.
Another thing that we're doing now from our laptops instead of in person is conferences.
Yeah.
And so my first experience with participating in a remote conference was PyCon. What do you want to talk about with remote conferences? It's a little bit of a weird thing.
It is a weird thing. I have participated in a few meetups and a few remote conferences, one being PyCon, which kind of decided to, instead of having one live event, they've been slowly rolling out videos and slowly rolling out content on their YouTube channel. And then the other conference that I spoke at was kind of the polar opposite of that. I belong to a team on Twitch called the Live Coders, and we put together a conference back in April, and there's another one coming up in June. And that whole conference was live streamed on Twitch with chat enabled.
Okay.
So that's kind of the two spectrums, right? Submitting a pre-recorded talk for PyCon and then just doing it live.
Yeah, I kind of want to do, I don't know. As a presenter, I really liked being able to do it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that part of it, although all of it was new. I hadn't recorded my screen before or recorded a presentation, so learning that was new. But the there was another conference that I was it was an internal company conference that we were going to do, and it turned into one of the streaming ones. Like it was a live stream thing, although that doesn't really work great when you do it around the world because the time zones are weird. Right. So, I think both are a neat idea, but before, like, actually, like if even 6 months ago, I would have thought, live coding or live or online conferences are a neat idea, but probably aren't going to get a lot of traction. But after this, I think there are more possibility. Like the meetup idea is a kind of a neat thing because, like the Chicago Python meetup they're doing those and taping them and getting them out there and doing them streaming so that you can watch it live. And other meetups are doing that too. It's a neat idea that now suddenly it's not just a regional conference or a regional meetup. People everywhere in the world can watch, which is cool. Mm-hmm.
And participate. I gave a lightning talk at Write Speak Code Seattle, right? I don't live in Seattle, but I was able to share with their community, and I really enjoyed doing that.
Oh, that's neat. That's cool. I think that it'd be fun. So I'm as somebody giving a talk or interacting with the chat, I think it's somewhere halfway in between would be fun to do like pre-recorded sessions, but have them play out during as if like all the people watching it, it's a in order thing. And then the person that gave the talk could be in the chat answering questions while their old self is presenting. That might be an interesting idea.
Oh, that is interesting. I do like that because during Live Coders Conference, you know, while I'm giving my talk, I can't actually keep an eye on the chat. That would just be too much. And so we had moderators pulling out questions from the chat to ask after the talk wrapped up.
Oh, okay. That's actually a cool idea. Does anybody do that with live streaming to have like a moderator hanging out answering while the live streamer? I guess you'd have to have a team of people, at least one other person working for you.
Yeah, they didn't answer the questions necessarily. They just queued them up for the end.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, so that I didn't have to scroll through a whole chat log to look for questions. They're all just kind of there for me, and I could focus on the question instead of the process.
Neat. And so you've got some other things coming up that you're going to take this even further, right?
Yeah. So for PyCon, folks who have attended in the past know that Microsoft tends to have a pretty big booth, and we have awesome swag. And the past few years, we've been giving away Adafruit kits for completing hands-on labs. And over the past few months, we've been working really hard to move that booth experience to a remote experience. We're going to have a big announcement on June 1st. We're going to have lots of demos available on a portal and hands-on labs. We're also going to have an Adafruit workshop that I'll share with your listeners. There's going to be a little surprise there. So I can't give it away, but I would recommend checking out the workshops.
Okay, cool. So this isn't happening on June 1st. It's the announcement's on June 1st. Is that right?
Yeah, the announcement and the launch is going to be on June 1st.
Okay.
Until then, though, our team's on Discord. So if you want to come hang out with us and ask questions, you can do that at aka.ms/python-discord.
Okay, neat. Maybe I haven't done that before. I'll check that out.
Yeah, Discord's really blowing up these days.
You have this idea of doing a live stream with a guest. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so what I really miss about PyCon is the hallway track and just conferences in general. I think this PyCon would have been my 8th in a row.
Okay.
7th or 8th.
Wow.
And yeah, I've managed to meet so many lovely folks in the community in that time. And, you know, you're walking around the event and you see someone and you ask them what they're up to, what they're excited about, how they've been. And I haven't really seen a way to do that or experience that virtually. And so I wanted to do that for the Python community. And so my goal is to start a weekly chat on Twitch where I'm going to have guests from the Python community come on Fridays, and we're just gonna chat and catch up. I'll give them the opportunity to share their screen if they want to demo something, and then folks can come hang out with us and chat too and ask questions. So I'm hoping to make it kind of a little bit like a streamed version of the hallway track, and the tentative title is Python Tea.
I think that's a really fun idea.
Right?
Yeah, sounds neat.
Because
that's definitely true. I think, and I guess I underestimated the power of the hallway track at conferences. But it's an incredible, it's a good opportunity to be able to just talk with people, and having some of that be able to be other people to participate in is a good idea. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Some impromptu, see where the conversation goes, show some code off. One of the things, I guess, a fun thing at the PyCons, people would come up and ask me questions of like, hey, I've got this testing problem. Can you help me with that? And then we would just like, you know, sometimes just go and grab a table somewhere, try to find a sort of quiet spot and, take a look at some code and work on things, or somebody would show off a cool project. I love that idea.
Right.
Kind of neat. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. Kind of like a live video podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to try to come up with some show and tell items to like show up.
Please. Yeah. I would love to have you on as a guest.
It'd be fun. Do you know when you're going to try to get that off the ground?
I'm working on getting everything set up. I'm going to say next week. Of course, that doesn't make any sense in podcast time, but May 20th is my goal.
Okay, cool. Well, the show notes are updatable. So as soon as we have a way for people to try to get to that, but it'll probably be through on your twitch.tv NNJ AIO, people will be able to find it that way also, right?
Right. Or if folks want to follow me on Twitter for announcements, that's generally the best way to keep in touch with what I've got going on. And I'm on Twitter at NNJA.
Yeah.
Oh, also, fun fact about the show. I was like, oh, this is such a great, unique idea. It's never been done. And I was talking to Trey Hunter about it, who's a big part of the Python community. And he was like, yeah, I did something like this for years. Apparently, it was called Python Chat. And he didn't have the interactive portion of it, but he did a weekly Python webcast for quite a while.
Okay.
So nothing is new, I think, is my point.
Okay. There's a note about VS Code team and the Python team, or?
Oh, yeah. So this all kind of rolled out of the same idea, but for the folks who work on products at Microsoft, it was always a really big joyful event for them to be able to come to PyCon and actually talk to their users, right? And meet folks who are part of the community and get feedback and all of that. And we haven't figured out a way to do that virtually either. And so I'm setting up a twice a month Q&A for the Python extension for VS Code team.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's
going
to happen on the Microsoft Developer Twitch, not on my personal Twitch, but I'm going to bring in four members every 2 weeks who are going to be around to answer questions, maybe give some sneak peeks of upcoming features and upcoming releases.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice. I'll try not to be a troll. Go in there
and ask. Please don't. We have moderators.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's bouncers at this party. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you brought up about doing your on Twitch, some of your talks have been centered around hardware also. So you, mm-hmm. you play with hardware as well, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So what have you been doing lately?
Well, I'm a little sad about this, but this year at PyCon, we were supposed to give out Adafruit Pi badges with custom code on them that I worked really hard on. So unfortunately, that's not happening this year. Maybe next year.
Oh, so the badge thing that you have on your Twitter profile picture, is that the thing that mm-hmm. you're holding? Is a
Pi badge.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a whole repository. If someone does have a Pi badge, they can try it out. There were Easter eggs and a little menu of different options that I kind of wanted to encourage folks to hack on. But given the state of the world, you might not actually have the hardware, or maybe you're in a place where you might not be able to afford a device or hardware and you're cutting your spending. And there's a VS Code extension that was built by the Microsoft Vancouver Garage interns called the Device Simulator Express that allows you to be able to learn about hardware, microcontrollers, CircuitPython, all of the concepts without actually needing the device.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So the first batch of interns implemented the Circuit Playground Express, which is an Adafruit board that's pretty simple. It has LEDs, buttons, a switch, a few sensors. The last batch of interns, though, expanded on that idea, and they added support for the Microbit as well as the Adafruit Clue, which has a screen. So, I mean, they did really fantastic work. I'm really impressed. And I think folks should check it out.
Oh, definitely. I'm totally going to check this out and play with it. Because even if you were going to order it, and even if you did order it, you might want to get started before you get the hardware in the mail. And working, oh, these pictures look great, though. It looks like a really cool thing. Definitely need to try that. And I was just actually thinking that one of my excuses for trying to do, so last year we got Circuit Playground Expresses, right? Or something?
Mm-hmm.
Adafruit gave out, Microsoft gave out something last year, these little circle things, right?
Yeah, we were giving some kits out at the Microsoft booth, and then Adafruit put one into everyone's swag bag.
Yeah, that's it. So I ended up with two of them because of that, because I went to, did the demo thing, and that was a really cool gift or giveaway or whatever, the little Adafruit box. Totally fun. But I haven't had much time to play with it. But if I convince myself to do like live streaming or twitching or something, I might be able to come up with some time. That's a good idea. Anyway, cool. What got you started with this? I mean, you've been doing like interactive hardware and software for a while. How did this start with you?
So I started a few years ago using Arduino and Teensy, and writing Arduino code, which is kind of a variant of C++. And it was fun. I really like wearables and wearable electronics. So figuring out ways to just adorn something with LEDs or doing costuming. But CircuitPython, I think I discovered that maybe 2 years ago now. It made everything a lot easier. It's not quite as fast or performant, but the concepts are a lot easier to follow. Adafruit puts out really nice libraries for their boards, and it's a lot faster to write, at least for me already being familiar with Python.
People time-wise, it's super fast to get started, especially with the interaction with the with code editors and stuff, and it's pretty fast to get started. It's cool. Love it.
Also, the community is really nice.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about terminal prompts.
Yeah, my prompt is pretty tricked out, and it's nicely styled. And fortunately or unfortunately, every time I live stream or do a demo or give a talk where I'm showing my terminal, half the questions end up being, how did you do that? In fact, there's already a comment on my PyCon talk that's like, how did you do the autocomplete? I'm in the process of writing a blog post about my setup. And to sum things up, I use OMIZSH and Z Shell. And it's not just snazzy for aesthetics. I also have quite a few things set up for productivity. One being syntax highlighting in my terminal prompt. I just set that up a few weeks ago and I love it.
Oh, wow. What does that mean?
Yeah. So if I type a command that is invalid, it will turn red before I even hit enter.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Right?
I like it. I want that.
Yeah, it's super nice. I also have indications for my Git repositories. So if I have code that, you know, if I have untracked files or commits that aren't pushed, I see indications of that.
I know that Z Shell is, I tried it like maybe a decade ago, so I guess I need to try it again. Is OMI Z Shell on top of Z Shell, or is it, or is it a replacement? Okay, so it's on.
Yeah, it's on top of it, and it provides support for theming and plugins and a lot of customization.
Okay, and is this available for pretty much all platforms, or is it just a Mac thing, or?
And for Linux as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Or, you know, Windows subsystem for Linux, whatever Linux-like shell you're using.
Okay. Yeah. Neat. I want to do that. So what do you have like, so I mentioned that I've got like, so I've seen people put their, I put my, what virtual environment I'm in. I've seen people do have the branch that they're working on also, things like that.
Yep.
I don't know how to do that though. So
Well, you're going to have to read the blog post. and it will be out by the time the podcast is out. So everyone who's listening can check the show notes.
So I haven't read it yet because it doesn't exist yet, but we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's nice. Yeah, I have Tab Complete set up for everything, not just files and directories, but commands and flags as well. And then I have a lot of automation.
Okay. So the autocomplete, I've been intrigued by people able to use that too. So I know that some tools already have autocomplete in there, but having more of them around would be cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Then you don't have to memorize the stuff. But one of the things I was curious about, so do you have the VI mode so that you do J and K through your history?
No, I'm an Emacs fan.
Okay, so the default is off in the Emacs, which I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Is it the arrows or something?
So if you want to do a quick search through your history, it's Command R for backwards and then Command S for forwards. Control R and Control S.
Okay. I'm not even going to memorize that because it's not me. But do you use Emacs then?
I used Emacs for a long time.
Okay.
These days I use VS Code with Emacs key bindings.
Oh, you do Emacs key bindings on VS Code.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So I've had people ask me why I use both PyCharm and VS Code off and on. They're just all VI because I do VI key bindings for both of them.
Nice. So
it's just an IDE that's a nice wrapper around VI as far as I'm concerned. Emacs plus VS Code, that's an interesting one. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, just for editing and moving around.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to unlearn that. If you've been programming for decades with all those key sequences, it's hard to, and why would you want to try to unlearn that?
Right.
It works. So, anyway, the one of the things I have to write an email in Outlook or something like that. It does. I wish that Outlook had VI key bindings. So that would be cool.
There's an app, I've never tried it for VI key bindings, but there's an app called Carabiner that allows you to set up some global Emacs shortcuts for your Mac. And then some Emacs shortcuts work in Mac by default. I believe Control A to go to the start of the line and Control E to go to the end of the line work out of the box.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. That's a cool idea. I just had to recently, I've been swapping back and forth with Windows and Mac so often recently using the same keyboard that I had to remap the command key and the control key for on my Mac so that I don't have to memorize two series of copy and paste commands.
I have my caps lock key remap to control. That's an Emacs thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got one of the central keys remapped to escape, which is a VI thing, because the little tiny escape key in the corner is just not good enough. But anyway, nerd topics. Well, now how about self-care?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. How are you holding up?
Well, I'm loving it. I actually, working at home is great. I used to work like 3 miles away from, I used to work 3 miles away from my house. And now it was like 10 minute drive. And I used to joke that if traffic was bad, it was 12 minutes. Now it's like 45 minutes to get to work and then like an hour to get back, which I don't like, because we moved out to Hillsboro. But working at home, the commute's like, I just have to make sure I'm awake by the time I get downstairs to sit at the computer. And I love it. The kids are pretty good. My kids are old enough to where they're not, they're pretty much on their own. But it's nice to be able to around to do, be a referee once in a while. they are probably, they're having not much fun because they're not used to having school be on a computer. So that's tough. I'm fortunate enough to have a fairly big chunk of yard. I can, even if I don't leave my own property, I can get outside and stuff.
That is lucky.
But how about you?
Well, I've worked from home for a few years now, so that hasn't really changed for me. What has changed, though, is so I have asthma, and I've been taking a lot of extra precautions, so I haven't even gone to the grocery store or anything like that. I've been lucky enough to be able to get my groceries delivered. So a side effect of that is that every day has become Blur's Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So are you not taking, you don't do very much different on the weekends then? It just sort of blends together?
I don't know. I guess, you know, on the weekends it's housework now, or, you know, some relaxing, I guess, but it's not enough to differentiate from my usual work week. And so I feel like my work weeks have just been blending into each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel that.
Yeah.
How about like personal interaction stuff?
Yeah. I live with a partner.
Okay.
So we've been annoying each other. We moved in together in March, and it's still kind of new, but you know, we mostly get along, and I'm glad to have the support. We are cooped up together. But I think last week, I don't know how days or times work anymore. I had a friend who had to pick something up, and so I left it on my stoop, and I waved at her from about 10 feet away while she was in the driveway, and that was, I think, the most interaction I've had with somebody else in a while. That was real exciting.
We live on a cul-de-sac, so we occasionally, one of the neighbors have a fire pit. They have a metal fire pit they'll drag out to the middle of the cul-de-sac, and then people can be outside and yell at each other from far away. Anyway, the burbs are an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's hysterical. I will definitely say that I feel so grateful to have a job at the moment and have a role where I can successfully work remotely, because I know a lot of people haven't been quite so lucky.
Yeah, I am very grateful for that too.
I wonder how it's going to change the landscape when lockdown is over, because I know a lot of companies were, you know, very against remote work and said that the company wouldn't be able to continue with remote workers and collaboration would collapse and all of that. But, you know, it seems like that's not actually happening, and people are mostly as or even more productive than they were in the past because they don't have to commute. And I wonder how it's going to change the landscape, because I feel like the folks who are not supportive might have lost some of their arguments.
My prediction is there's going to be a lot of people that are going to do like 2 or 3 days at home that they never did before. There's still some benefit to personal interaction, but there's also downside. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if more companies embrace it.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if traffic kind of died down permanently?
Yeah. Or you could hire anybody from anywhere in the world and not have to depend on them to be wanting to move to wherever your company is.
Right.
So, yeah, anyway, we'll see. Hopefully it'll change. Well, it was so fun to get caught up on everything you're up to. And I'm going to definitely check out your Twitch stream, and looking forward to the weekly guest interactive chat things. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So cool. We'll keep in touch.
Really looking forward to setting that up.
And thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, as usual.
Thank you for listening to Testing Code. let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me, or /newsletter so that I can reach you, or /support if you'd like to, get a course or something. That's all for now. Now go out and test something.